They are not ready for primetime.
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 Primetime, that's the name.
Primetime.
Primetime.
What time is it? Showtime primetime.
It's XL Primetime, featuring Joe C.
I reduced my toilet paper down to 3 squares.
Matt Hayes.
Big asses and big thighs, yeah.
And Leon Searcy.
Bringing you love, peace, and soul.
How you like me now? How you like me now?
Cranking it out on a Thursday. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We are a week away from your Jacksonville Jaguars selecting 17th overall. And I think that's worth one of these. As we get our Thursday rolling right here on XL Primetime. This is the beginning of our weekend, unofficially. You can accept it as yours as well. And right now, the Jacksonville Jaguars brass, that being Trent Baalke and Doug Peterson, going to talk about what they think might happen in the first round with your Jacksonville Jaguars and beyond. And we've got boots on the ground, the Hayes Carlines of the world, the Rick Ballews, the hackers, they are all down there. So we're going to carry this. So listen up, people. We're going to go off of the stream, off of the apps. And so you can just listen to the presser at Jaguars.com. We will come back on the apps with our show in just a minute, but we want to give you the latest and up to the second from what's going on down at the bank. Here is the Jaguars luncheon getting ready for the draft. All right, plenty of good stuff coming from the bank, actually down at the Mecca. So thanks to the Jaguars for allowing us to pull it off of the stream and make sure that you on the terrestrial radio were able to hear it. Now, you'll have that moment where you'll come back on the app and say, there's XL Primetime. Thank you. But we'll kind of co-join again YouTube, all the streaming that we do. But thanks to the Jaguars for letting us do that. All right, real quick thought. One thing you want to talk about that Trent Baalke said, sir, is and then we'll take a break and come back and get ready for it.
Well, the difference between need and
best player
available. Absolutely.
Matt, you agree? BPA versus need?
Yeah.
Here's his direct quote. Yeah. When in doubt, you take the need when it's close.
Yeah. And I tweeted, Trent has spoken. That's it right there. So let's marry that up. You guys get on the text line, start telling us what you got out of it. 641-1010. It is XL Primetime.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL.
The 17th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft. The Los Angeles Chargers select Derwin James, defensive back, Florida State.
It's Mahomes, play fake. Mahomes showing off the cannon arm, knocked away. Derwin James is everywhere.
So over the last handful of 17th picks that XL Primetime has done leading up to the Jaguars' 17th pick, we've been going back basically 17 years, and that selection of Derwin James was a pretty dang good one that came in 2018. And a guy that came from FSU and didn't necessarily show all of his star power there, had one injured year but was really, really a dynamic player. And then also has had injuries in his NFL career, but went on. Boy, is he on.
He's one of the best 50 in the league, went on.
So that was the 17th pick overall. So welcome back, XL Primetime. Joe C., Matt Hayes, Big Leon Searcy, and RJ Saunders. So we play these 17th overall picks. Real quick comment on Derwin James, and then let's get back to the conversation.
Oh, he was a phenom. I mean, him and Ramsey in the secondary back at Florida State.
Yeah.
That's the reason why they had a 7-0 record against us in Miami.
Yeah.
Hell, in the NFL. I mean, when was the last time this team had a top 50 player in the NFL?
Well, it really gives you, like, you have to look at every position and not discount the safety position as something that's worth the 17th pick overall. If you have a patroller, a guy back there that will absolutely lasso and lace up any weaknesses you have on the
defense. He was rangy, was long, he would hit you, he was a ball hawk, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Great player.
All right, so that was the pick in 2018. We'll keep counting them down, and we definitely need to just keep thinking about what the Jacksonville Jaguars are thinking. So, need versus best player available. You got the X poll to put out, RJ? Let me have it.
Absolutely. So our Twitter poll question, XL Primetime X question of the day, brought to you by Beaver Chevrolet. With the Jaguars GM Trent Baalke mentioning need multiple times during his press conference, tell us at XL Primetime what you think Jacksonville's biggest need is. That's up right now on X. Just search 1010XL.
All right, do me a favor, and if you could just hit that one sounder, that sound that you make right as the selection is coming in. Do you have that all by itself, RJ? Do you have it? I just want to hear it right now. Okay, I just want to hear it, but let's go ahead and fire this up first, and we'll say hello to our good friend from the NFL Network. The All-Pro. Yeah, the All-Pro. Give me the All-Pro, RJ, first.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line.
Right, I wanted to make sure I got that in, and then RJ's looking for the other one. I wanted to have that little sounder so we could say hello to our man from the NFL Network, Charlie Uke, who joins us now, and I wanted to hear that sound just so we could make sure that when the Jaguars are at the podium, this is the first question we ask Charlie Uke every single time we have him on, that he doesn't go to commercial. Welcome in, Charlie. How are you?
How we doing, fellas? And again, for the second year in a row, I can 99% guarantee there will not be a commercial after pick 17 when the Jags go
on the clock. Let me hear it, RJ. Let me hear it. So when we hear that, you're saying we're not going to commercial.
Yes. Now, that is the ESPN bell.
That's not their music,
Joe. I won't hold that again.
Charlie doesn't want to hear that stuff.
Oh, that's a different sound. I thought it was the same for everybody.
No, you guys, that's the worldwide leader. But they're our partners. I love them. So we're okay here.
Yeah, that's true. Listen, we'll be watching Rich Eisen and the boys.
Now we're talking, boys.
Yeah, on the NFL Network. All right, so let's get into it because this is the man who runs the absolute best show when it comes to the countdown to the draft, NFL Network's coverage, and we're right smack dab in the middle of this bad boy with the Jacksonville Jaguars picking 17th overall. Another showcase event, is it not, Charlie? Every single time they go from town to town, it seems like it just gets better and better.
It is, and we've talked about this. This is like we treat it like a Super Bowl. It's the best offseason event there is. You guys know this. The hope, the dreams of 32 franchises rely on players that don't play any football on this given night. But, you know, it's driven by the players that are going to be in this draft. I know you guys have been talking about it. I've heard you guys talk about it. Depth versus, you know, need. Like, there's a lot of talent in this draft, and we're going to see quarterbacks going to major markets. And this is a deep wideout class. I know that interests a lot of ears in Jacksonville. So we'll see what happens. We're ready to go. We've got all the talent ready to go. All the sets ready to go. They're building them out right now in Detroit, and we can't wait to have a great broadcast on Thursday, April 25th, that starts at 8 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network.
Now, Charlie, I mean, it's an offensive-driven league, the NFL is. I mean, but I wasn't sure that would carry over into the draft. You're talking about, what, 18 or 19 offensive players that are going to be drafted next Thursday? I mean, that's got to be some kind of record.
It is, and Leon, it's funny. We were just doing this. We had a meeting prior. We're like, what are we talking about here as far as offensive versus defense? And, you know, let's just say a conservative 4 quarterbacks, 8 wideouts, 8 offensive linemen. You're talking 20 offensive players. The linemen also include interior guys. There's great tackles here, but there's a lot of good interior guys that I know Daniel Jeremiah has spoken a lot about recently, his conference call yesterday and all his mock drafts. So you're right. We could be seeing a record of offensive players taken in the first round, and that's something we'll monitor.
Charlie, try and give everyone that's listening right now an idea of how the league goes about choosing what city gets the draft year by year. And what are the odds of Jacksonville getting? Is it a possibility down the road once the new stadium is built?
Yeah, and Matt, that's a great question. There is a bid process, and it's got to come from, you know, ownership wanting to have this. It's got to come from the city wanting to have this and being able to support. You know, we know this year's draft is Detroit, next year's Green Bay, so the next open one will be 26. So if there's a desire from any other franchise, the bidding process is very similar to a Super Bowl bidding process. You put your name in there, you discuss what the positives are, what, you know, the impact it'll have, both from an economical level and everything else. Fans is a huge thing. Right now we have over 300,000 registered fans to come see us in Detroit, which is a huge thing.
I would think.
Right?
300,000
already pre-registered to come. I would think Duval would show up. I would assume they would. But that's the process, Matt. So it's very similar to Super Bowl bid process. And also a location, right? Kansas City had that historic train station in front. Detroit's right in downtown. Jacksonville, no stranger to Super Bowls. I'm pretty sure we could find some spots. But yeah, that's in the 30,000-foot nutshell of how we choose draft locations.
Look, 300,000, you're bringing the West Side into this conversation now. That's for sure. All right, we're talking to Charlie Yuki. He is the executive producer of the NFL Network's coverage, and we're talking 18 years they've been doing this bad boy, and you'll be able to see Rich Eisen, Daniel Jeremiah, Charles Davis, Joel Klatt. They will be there as far as the main stage is concerned. Kurt Warner, Ian Rappaport inside, Kaylee Hartung, who does a great job. She will be one of those working the stage area. So, Charlie, when you think of just the we're talking a behemoth, man, and it's not a game, but it's one of the most viewed, most watched NFL pieces of content, is it not?
It is, and it all starts with the passionate fan bases that you have in Jacksonville and everyone else. This event is the kickstart, I would think, for a lot of people to think, what just made my team better? How does this make my team better? Where are the needs we need to fill? And we all are fans of a team or another that all of these 32 franchises. One player we know can make a difference. We know that Trevor made a difference. We know that C.J. Stroud made a difference last year. Is Caleb Williams going to be the guy that makes a difference for Chicago? But most teams in the NFL are truly, right, guys, like 1 to 3 players away from being championship caliber. And could that person be in this draft? And we don't know. Is that person one, like a Trevor, or is it the Mr. Irrelevant, like Brock Purdy? The talent is in there. They'll fall between 1 and 257 in this draft. One of these guys will be an all-pro, maybe even a Hall of Famer, and that's the beauty of this event. It is truly reality TV. It's American Idol. It's what The Bachelor, whatever you like, this is it. And we find out on Thursday night at 8 o'clock Eastern what hope begins for whatever fan has of whatever team. And it is truly the best. It's the crown jewel event of the offseason for the NFL. There's no doubt about it.
Now, Charlie, when we picked Trevor Lawrence about 3 years ago, I mean, of all the guys that were being drafted, we thought he was a lock. There are no locks. I mean, the NFL is a 50-50 coin. But if you were to look at this draft right now, is there anybody that you can look at and say, you know what, that guy's a lock. He's going to be a good pro.
I would think with all of our analysts, Leon, talking about it, if we're talking one guy that seems like a lock, I think everyone's talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got the height, weight, speed. He's got the tape. He's got everything else. He's physically just – he was done with college, right? He could have been done with college probably as a sophomore if the rules allowed. I know that obviously doesn't, but I think, you know, it's such a deep wideout class though, right, guys? And we're talking like talent versus depth. Do you really need someone like that who's obviously – very good versus someone in the second, third round that can contribute. But Marvin just seems to be, with our insiders and everyone else, is someone that's pretty universally known as someone who's going to be there. Quarterbacks is the one we just don't know, right? We don't know. In Trevor's class, we saw the quarterbacks go, and a lot of them have new homes. So it's really a crapshoot there. But I think Marvin is one of the safest ones if we're picking one name.
All right, speaking of quarterbacks, Charlie, could be as many as 5 first rounders this year, and knowing the narrative out there that, you know, with quarterbacks, one's usually really good, one's pretty good, you know, one's a bust, and 2 are, you know, just moving along, which is basically what happened with Trevor's class. So will you guys do anything unique production wise with this quarterback class?
Yeah, look, Matt, the good thing is, right, is these are some household names. You've got back-to-back Heisman winners. You've got a kid from North Carolina and Drake May, who I think you either love or you're just not sure about because you just haven't seen enough tape. Like, the comparisons are going to be there, and we truly hope, guys, there's chaos at the top, because yeah. You know what makes a draft interesting? Mm-hmm. Absolute madness, trades, teams moving up. We want to see, for the first time ever, quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. We have no idea when we'll take a commercial at that point then. I think that's the most interesting thing. And look, you guys know this better than I do. A lot of it depends on where the player goes. Do we all think Patrick Mahomes would be Patrick Mahomes if he didn't go to the Chiefs? I don't know if we can answer that question directly. But the fact that he went to the Chiefs, it was a perfect fit. Fit's going to matter for a lot of these teams. Would C.J. Stroud been as good in Carolina as with Houston? Don't know. Maybe. It's going to fall the way that way too. And that's one of the things we're going to focus on, Matt. Like, who goes to is a huge question mark. Will it make sense with whatever team that does it? And that's assuming Washington makes that pick. So, a lot of intrigue. That's something we're definitely going to hit on. Quarterbacks, it's a quarterback-driven league. You guys know this. It's the appetite that everyone has, and we're going to break down each quarterback as individuals, but also scheme fit and where they make sense. So we'll see what happens.
All right, listen, I want you to give details one more time as far as when they can tune in, but you're over-under, the Charlie Yuke over-under bet quarterbacks in the first round, 5 or 6? Where are you?
I want to go 5.
Okay.
6 wouldn't be surprising.
Okay. All right. All right. That's cool. All right. I love it. I love it. All right. So beginning with Thursday night, you got Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Tell everybody where they can go.
Okay. So I know Duval's ready for NFL Network's coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft starting at 8 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, April 25th. Make sure you tune in at 8 p.m. We have a very, 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 very famous person to lead a universal moment to start the draft that no one will want to miss. That's a tease, boys.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, Friday, April 26th on NFL Network, and then Saturday at noon Eastern on NFL Network, April 27th. Saturday, also, it'd be remiss if I didn't mention very typical segments we do, Run Rich Run, which is a great thing he does, 20th mm-hmm. year, raising money for St. Jude's and all the kids who deserve that treatment. We've got a second year. We're doing puppy adoptions for you dog lovers. Nice. We're going to have puppies that you can adopt on television. And Stump the Truck, which I know everyone loves that, where we try to stump our wonderful, wonderful men and women in production of all the tapes they've gathered if we have a particular obscure or low-level prospect to see if we have it. So lots of fun stuff. And I think I mentioned, too, Good Morning if I didn't, Good Morning Football coming back mm-hmm. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's normal time slot, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern. So it's a full party, all the gangs here.
Charlie, you threw out three varies there. Very, very, very typically translates to Taylor Swift. That's all I'm saying.
Here's what I'm going to say. It's not her.
It's Detroit.
It's not her.
But it's big.
Okay. Right. Is it Detroit-ish?
It's big.
Okay. It's Motown-ish. Okay. All right.
Big.
All right.
All right, listen, man, we appreciate it for sure. We got to get some NFL Network logo stuff working inside our...
Yeah, enough with the ESPN bells, yeah, man. Yeah, that's not our chime.
Listen, I'll never do that again. And by the way, the West Side's coming after me, too. Best fans are on the West Side. Duval till we die over here. So I'm in trouble here and there. Listen, Charlie, appreciate it, man. We look forward to it a week from tonight.
Appreciate you guys always having me. Thanks for letting us promote NFL Network's coverage. Thanks, guys.
All right, man. Definitely check them out with everything that will be going on as we keep it rolling right here on XL Primetime. Way behind, but we got to get back to the conversation as far as need versus BPA, best player available.
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL.
Yeah, I think you try to address needs in free agency and you try to attack it that way. The less needs you have going into the draft, the better, obviously, because it allows you to then stick to that formula of drafting the best player available. But we feel comfortable. You know, I think and Coach can speak on that, too. We feel comfortable with where we're at, but we got a ways to go.
This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
We carried the presser earlier down at the Mecca. Thanks to the Jaguars for allowing us to carry that over the air. And you heard from your head coach, Dougie Fresh, and Trent Baalke, the guy that's going to make that selection. And he mentioned need, and he mentioned best player available. So, Big Sir, let's answer that question before we got to get our mock draft rolling here in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Now, need versus best player available.
Oh, well, listen, this team doesn't have the luxury to go best player available. We've got needs everywhere, especially when you're coming off a season where you collapse towards the end. Yeah, you tried to address some of the certain issues in free agency with some players that you signed. You signed some of Ezra Cleveland. You went out and got some other guys. But this team has got to go need, in my assessment. You got to go need, absolutely.
Yeah, you can't help it. I think you have to acknowledge it. And I always marry up best draft grade with most pressing need. I always think it's a hybrid of some form.
I've been saying need for the last 3 months.
Well, you have been saying need when you say interior lineman, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're good enough to just say, let's get the best player out there, and he'll help us somehow. You can't – you need guys at specific positions. So I understand what they're saying. What he's clearly saying is, look, we have needs.
Yeah.
We have needs, and unless there's a giant gap, and I mean giant by, like, unless you have one guy rated, you know, in the top 15 and the other guy rated in, you know, the 30 to 42,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're going for need. You're going for what you need. And that's I like that. Now, again, the question is, what do they think their greatest need is? Is mm-hmm. it corner? Is it wide receiver? Is it interior offensive line? Right. Is it interior defensive line?
Yeah, because that's where I would submit to you there are multiple needs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hope this team is not delusional. I mean, I'm sure they made an assessment after the season on where they struggled at, And the most glaring issue for me, mm-hmm. and it was brought up in the press a little bit, someone asked him the question, you know, converting on third and short and fourth and short, those short yardage situations. How do you answer that? You get your furniture mover.
Yes.
You get somebody that can move some furniture.
Yeah.
You know, you get your interior offensive lineman slash tackle type of guy. That's what I think. You know, I'm being biased because I played the position, but I'm just saying I looked at this team protecting Trevor and running the ball should be their need.
But it's funny. Let's make this the 10-10 take real quick, RJ, and then we'll get into the 3 o'clock hour because we got to unveil our mock draft. But let's do it real quick.
Now, Joe C's 10-10 take. Slow smoked and served up by Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmaster since 68.
You won't go wrong because they're smoking it well in advance of when you walk in the door, you sit down, you say, you know what? I think I'll do the three meat combo. I'm going to go pork, ribs, chicken. Boom, you got it. And they will set it up for you. Serving it fast after smoking it slow. You can definitely check out any one of your area Sonny's. We call it, you know, basically best player available versus need. A year ago, need was an offensive lineman because Cam Robinson was facing a 4-game suspension. You immediately go to the lineman's room. You select Anton Harrison. Boom, you got it done. But then what happened after that? They might have gone best player available with a Brenton Strange selection and a Tank Bigsby selection, and neither one of those were need. And so that goes back to Leon's point. Mistake. All right, now I thought they were good. I'm not going to back off of that. I thought, hey, Doug Peterson is winning the conversation in the building and saying, you know what, I want more weapons that I can start to feed the football to all these guys. I expected more and got less. They had needs on the defensive side that they did not address until the fourth round and still really didn't get their playmakers out of the fourth round that they needed. So that's the 10-10 take. There is no doubt about it. They went BPA over need. They need to make sure.
Hope the draft from last year is out their system because you were supposed the first, second, and third round picks were supposed to be hits. First round pick was a hit, but your second and third rounders they were virtually irrelevant. Yeah. You cannot be that costly this year. You can't because when you miss on guys like that, man, it can kill your roster.
Yeah, like we said, the three-piece combo, as we referred to it by Friday night, you have that three-piece combo. You better have three good players.
Yeah, you had your second and third round picks from last year, healthy scratches halftime.
Not only that,
that's no bueno.
It's not like here. You know, you talked about. I'm not even going to say because I hate it. The BPA, okay. Yeah. Brent Strange, round two, round three, Tank Bigsby, round four, Ventrell Miller, linebacker. Yeah. You don't need a linebacker, okay. Another fourth rounder, Tyler Lacy from Oklahoma State, who was a reach. There's no doubt about it. Round five. Yasir Abdullah,
yeah,
an undersized edge guy, but a guy that's got some speed, so you think maybe he can do something. Again, that's best player available. Then sixth round rolls around.
I wouldn't even call Yasir best player available.
No, but I'm saying in sixth round rolls around, you're thinking, oh, we don't have a receiver. Let's hit a need.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get Parker Washington in the sixth round.
Yeah.
He's gone six rounds without a wide receiver.
And by the way, the sixth rounder and the first rounder have more production than the other two, or the other picks combined.
That's the funny thing is, I don't know why we just leave Ventrell Miller out of this equation. And I know
he got hurt,
but the reality is he's a linebacker. They didn't need a linebacker. No, so those three picks after the first pick were terrible.
I have said it countless times. The first pick you went for on the defensive side came in the fourth round, and it was an injured player. It was a mistake right from the jump.
The only pick first four that looks good is the need pick.
And then they followed that with another reach in Tyler Lacy. Good player at Oklahoma State, but maybe not necessarily a good player here. All right, real quick, we head to 3 o'clock hour. It's eerie that my buddy Swanee and I were playing the 9 after 5 last night, Golf Club of Southampton's great night, and we're all chatting it up, and he starts talking about great little haunts to go and listen to music. And we brought up the Allman Brothers here, and we were talking about some of the great places, the old Freebirds and some of the other ones. Bottom line is, one of the best, Dickie Betts, passing away at the age of 80. So may he rest in peace as we just played a little Allman Brothers, and we'll keep playing it throughout the rest of the afternoon.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. This is XL Prime Time, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
You got some old Allman Brothers memories. You definitely can hit the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures as we are knee-deep in the 3 o'clock hour, losing one of the great rock and rollers. And, you know, you talk about Southern rock and And the Allman Brothers.
You didn't have an older brother, did you?
Yeah, my older brother.
Your older brother, right.
Yeah.
So at what point in your age
yeah.
did your older brother look at you and say, just play this Eat a Peach right here?
Yeah. We had, like, basic, the same love for music,
right.
okay? Not necessarily everything. He might have gone into a disco stage at one point.
Really?
Wearing some velour and stuff like that that I wasn't ready to go along.
But he was listening to Eat a Peach, was he not?
Yeah. Well, we were listening, honestly, we listened to Southern rock, good rock and roll. And then I would dip my toe in country now. I love me some country. So he probably didn't go along as much with the country. But anyway, Southern rock, oh, yeah.
Yeah, my older brother was, it was this album, Eat a Peach.
Yeah.
And then it was also A1A, Jimmy Buffett. Just mm-hmm. He's yeah. just, I was maybe eight.
Yeah, by the way, I love
like,
Buffett.
Just listen to this.
I love Buffett. It's still one of my right. favorite. You drop me on an island, tell me, no one's coming back, then I would probably listen to him and just, get pie-eyed and yep. just have a great time.
Yep.
Mm. But the Allman Brothers, honestly, and like I said, hit us if you have a memory. West Siders, who I apologize to. I was just having fun earlier.
Right, we
just,
know y'all are. Believe just, me. We know y'all just, bring it.
Hey, listen, West Side's the best side, okay? Don't think I don't know that. But anyway, it's just sad to see a good time rock and roller leave this earth. And now, you know what? He's on that big stage in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
And he can sing whatever they want. Statesboro Blues. They can mm-hmm. sing Sweet Melissa. Anything they want. That would be perfectly fine with me. All right, RJ. Instead of Allman Brothers, which we will continue to play the entire afternoon, let's fire up a little NFL music, and let's get to our mock draft as we are counting it down. Big Sirs,
yes.
This is our second to last draft. This one is so good for me, I almost want this to stick and stay.
Mine too, actually.
As my last. All mm-hmm. right, so let's set it up real quick. Let's do our first three rounds. Now look, everybody, you guys, if you are mock draft lovers and you are into it, you can hit us with your first three that you've gotten if you've done a mock. And agree or disagree with any of ours. We'll put it out on X as well. But let's go with our first overall selection.
All right.
17th pick overall.
All right, well, 17th pick overall. Listen, first of all, I don't think this guy's going to be here, so I took him anyway. All
uh-huh.
right. All right, you just don't leave him out in the air dangling and not the big fella ain't going to grab him. So I took, with my 17th pick, offensive tackle out of Washington, Troy Patanu.
Mm-hmm. Also play guard. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that weighed heavily on my pick because, you can move him inside if he has to.
Oh, yeah.
Let him groom for a year, then put him back out there the next year. That's my pick.
Matty?
All right, so, again, this is NFL mockdraftdatabase.com.
And sometimes I think they're full of it.
NFL mockdraftdatabase.com if you want to go there and do this. It's a lot of fun. It's free. It's not like PFF that they charge you to do it. So this guy's clearly not going to be there, but I'm going to give you the picks before him to show you how crazy this is.
Tell me who it is, just in case.
J.J. McCarthy's one overall in this mock that I had, right?
Nah,
Caleb Williams, two. Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison Jr., Roma Dunze, Drake May, Leatu Latu. Mm-hmm. I know you like to call him Latu
yeah.
Latu.
Yeah, I think
he's
seven
overall.
He's a latte, is what he is. He's okay. a latte.
Anyway, 17 overall, Joe Alt, offensive tackle, Notre Dame.
Okay.
Oh,
if he's
be.
There, take him.
It's funny because, all right, so real quick, because I have Joe Alt as well, and I thought to myself, same thing. I almost started it over, and in the middle of one of my mocks, something happened. I touched something wrong, and I had to start over, and Joe Alt came back up again. I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. So this is the way this one went. The quarterbacks, the top three picks were quarterbacks. Then Malik Nabers, Adunze, J.J. sixth, Brian Thomas seventh, way too high. Dallas Turner eighth, Latu ninth, Marvin Harrison all the way in the 10th spot. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But anyway, that's where he was. And then Byron Murphy came off the board. Quinyon came off the board. J.C. Latham, Fuanga, Cooper DeJean, which I just don't see that. I've seen him in a few mocks very high. Bottom line is I don't think that would happen. Bashanu was the next guy. I'm like, well, hell yeah. I'm taking Joe Alt, so that's what we did. So two
yeah,
of our two, three.
Yeah, took Joe Alt. Yeah. So a generational lineman is going to be at 17.
Let's just say he's there. Number one, you have to take him, yeah. and I think they would take him. And number two, I mean, how quickly does Cam get traded on that night, or is it the next night?
I do believe, honestly, next week, this time, depending on how that board falls,
yeah.
that he might be one of the guys. And look, I'm you both know I am the biggest Cam Robinson supporter on this radio station.
Definitely. Yes, you are, absolutely.
I am. I support 74. Mm-hmm. But and I do believe he's looked at as a leader, as a tough guy, as a guy that they like to play for and respond well to his leadership.
Dempsey likes him too. Yeah. Drill guys do not
but
like him.
But it's just if you can save money and you think you might have, and I'm going to use that old generational world, how do you describe it when you draft a guy like that? You just plug him and
Hey, you turn your back for the next 10 years.
Yeah, and don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
So that's what I'm curious if that's
listen, but Joe Aldis there at 17, all the other 16 teams should be mule kicked. all 16
all right, or at least 15 of them.
15 of them, whatever. They
all
should
right,
be mule kicked.
So go to your second
round. All right, second round with the 48th pick. I'm going wide receiver out of Florida, Ricky Pearsall.
Look at you. You love the Gators.
Hey, listen.
RJ, you got to look for
that.
Some of these drops.
I don't know about that.
Where Leon says, I love the orange and blue. You have to look for that one, too.
No, I think JJ took that with him. but I saw him there. Listen, you know, 6'1", 190, he only had four touchdowns, but he almost had 1,000 yards. I mean, you talking about a speed guy. Running that 4.41 at the combine helped him a lot.
I'll tell you what, some of the film breakdown from the guys that know, they love on him. They really do. Yeah. All right, second round.
Well,
I love orange and blue to the death.
Thank you, RJ.
Thank you.
RJ, you'll pay for that later. Same thing, make you laugh, make you cry.
So, I mean, honestly, he's a guy, Ricky Pearsall, who was stuck in an offense that just didn't know how to use him. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Billy Napier's trying to figure out how to use Anthony Richardson. Then he's trying to figure out how to use Graham Mertz. And the guy who didn't benefit from it clearly was Ricky Pearsall. Yeah, I think he's going to be a really good pro.
Yeah, he's proven that he's got quicks, good route runner, and he can definitely
catches
catch
the ball, man. He catches
the ball.
Isn't that
what they're supposed to do? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The most underrated thing of all of receivers.
All right, 48.
All right, 48. He was there, and you better believe I took him, man. Cooper Beebe, guard, Kansas State. I don't think he's going to be there again at 48. But if he is, man, you imagine that mean and nasty. Imagine those two mean and nasties on your offensive line, Leon.
If I
told you, bro, we got Joe Alt and Cooper Beebe on that Jaguars offensive line now.
I would want to go coach.
Well, it would have toughened it up. All right, so Big Sarce and I both went wide receiver. I went Troy Franklin, and I like his size, just a little bit taller, quickness, can high point and go get the ball. He's out of Oregon, so I decided to go Troy Franklin. With my second round pick, 48th overall. Let's get to number 96.
All right, number 96. Now, this was a clear reflection of who I picked before at 48. I had to rinse off and get a cane at 96. So, at 96, I'm taking safety from the University of Miami, Cameron Kitchens.
That's like the third draft in a row with you and Cam Kitchens.
You like him, and he's
like
a good player.
He's a good player, bro.
Yeah, they don't really need a safety.
Think about this now. They don't know
what can cover.
Hey, they don't know exactly what's going to happen with Cisco's future. They don't know if Antonio Johnson's going to absolutely be 100%. Savage, is he going to be the nickel? So, I think about safety quite a bit.
That's BA.
This is more. You know what I just did? You know what I just did? I took best player instead of
needle. Yeah, that was 100% BPA.
I can admit to it.
You know what's happening, sir?
I was trying to watch the orange and blue
off. Yeah, I had to watch the orange and blue off.
You know what's happening, though? I think he's trying to GM your draft.
I know, you know what I'm saying?
His draft.
Hey, listen, don't worry about how I water my lawn. Yeah. You stay in your yard.
All right, what do you got, third round?
All right, 96. Jack need a corner. Absolutely. So I went with Kyrie Jackson, Oregon. Good player. Good cover guy. A man cover guy. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of good cornerbacks, and he had popped up too. I went interior offensive lineman, and I went with Christian Mahogany. And he's one of the guys that I do think, if you get him inside the top 100, Boston College build linemen, do they not?
They do.
And so I'm going to go Mahogany with that third round overall 96th pick. All right, let's hit the fourth round real quick, and then we'll hit our break.
All right, in the fourth round, at 114, I'm taking a cornerback from Missouri, Chris Abrams-Drain. Chris Abrams-Drain. I went with the quarterback.
He's one of those guys that I think has fallen because he doesn't run as well as he doesn't run as well as Enos is the guy.
Yeah, Enos Rakestraw is
playing
the one
with
they love.
Right, but I think he's going to be a good player in the league. I really do. He's one of those. You know what he is? He's one of those Aaron Beasley guys.
Yeah.
He may not be the fastest guy.
Yeah.
He knows
I was going to ask you that. I mean,
he
does he have good
ball,
tape?
Man.
He knows ball. He knows how to be.
He's got really good.
Yeah. I mean, listen. I told you the NFL is not straight line. I mean, that combine can kill a lot of good players.
Yeah.
NFL is waves and waves. Can he cover? Does he know? Did you recognize?
Does he know the game of
football? Yeah, know the game of football.
Does he know angles?
Give me that guy every day. Absolutely.
Yeah. You got guys that win with off-season workouts, mm-hmm. and then you got guys that make plays.
Well, right. Well, I mean, what B said the other day was so 100%. Enlightening. If you guys were listening, he said, "If you leverage a guy, you can force him to run your speed."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. The way
yeah, it's just that's kind of what it is. That's
all right.
That's football knowledge. Mm-hmm. All right, my fourth.
114.
My fourth. I went wide receiver. I went Jalen McMillan of Washington.
I like
long,
that guy.
A long mm-hmm. guy that can run, and yeah, I like him.
Yeah, you can definitely take a look at a few of these guys that really have the possibility. And the Jaguars had a scheduled visit with him, so you know that they like the look of him. I went Cam Hart, so mm-hmm. I went corner in the fourth round. So basically, you're looking at lineman, wide receiver, lineman, defensive back. Your first four positions
were offensive line, wide receiver, safety, corner.
Safety, corner. Your first
four.
I went
tackle, guard, corner, wide receiver. Yeah. If after the first four picks, this franchise has Joe Alt, Cooper Beebe, Kyrie Jackson, Jalen McMillan, mm-hmm. y'all should be doing backflips down
Bay Street. We're all applying for Trent Baalke's job right now. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll keep it rolling. We'll get to the second half of our mock draft, and we're counting it down. We do it every Thursday. We got one more to do before the Jaguars make it real with the 17th pick overall.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. Find your new Honda at your 8 local Honda dealers. This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
You know, we talk about some of the great rock and roll, some of the great music that's come out of the city of Jacksonville, and we all know that you got Skinner and so many other ones. But don't forget about the great Allman Brothers. That's for sure. Losing one of the best at 80 years of age. R.I.P. Sticky B. All right, so let's get back to our mock draft. And we pulled this one off the NFL mock draft database. And you can go to other ones if you want. But we'd love to hear what your take is on our selections and what your selections. If you've been mocking it up, you can hit the text line at 641-1010. Designed by Lifetime Enclosures, or you can definitely tweet at us and let us know some of the selections that you got. We would love to hear it. Some are wanting to draft a GM. Look, you can have your criticism.
I'll be your GM. I can do it.
Yeah. I know you want to be the GM. Yeah, everyone wants to be the GM, Leon, mm-hmm. until
I think I can
they're
do it,
the GM.
Mm-hmm.
And then when a few picks go wrong, and they get hammered.
Y'all can mm-hmm. call me clown. You want to pay me $5 million a year. I don't care.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's true.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But how
last
long would you
mm-hmm. call me anything you want to call me? If you can pay me $5 million and allow me to pick players.
You'd be laughing.
Call me whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, how good would you be? That's the question.
Well, I can't be any worse than what happened last year. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Overall, he has brought in some good players. He has more starters than the last regime had. But there were definitely some fails in that draft last year. That's for sure. All right, so we stopped off at the first of the fourth rounders.
Yep.
So let's get to the second of the fourth rounders.
All right.
116th overall, Leon Sosa.
All right. In the fourth round, I went corner. Mm-hmm. I picked the corner from Cam Hart, Notre
mm-hmm.
Dame.
Mm-hmm.
At 116. That's where okay. I went.
All right, 116, I got former Missouri, former LSU D-tackle, Mekhi Wingo. Good player. Been dinged the last couple years, but a really good player when healthy.
It's so funny because you're sitting here trying to figure out where are these guys going to fit in right away. And depth is real. That's what the draft is all about. And I worry at least a little bit about any front man for LSU because how they got torched defensively time and time and time and time again.
You've dinged up, though, man.
Yeah. Now, Big Mason, so big. You need two A's to spell his name. I worry about him. I almost drafted him, but I worry about him. As far as maybe being, he went from a five-star to a disappointment. All right, so 116 overall, I went with the Georgia man. I went with Cedric Van Pran. I think that is a big, strong interior lineman that can do some good things. So if you'll notice.
Center guard, yeah.
Yeah, if you'll notice, I have two linemen interiorly in the third and fourth rounds. That's where you draft those.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I believe you draft
them. No, first two.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. That's where you draft them. That's where you get value when you have Mahogany and Van Pran.
Okay?
Yeah. All right, so let's get to 153.
Well, listen, when I made this pick, I wasn't quite sure. I mean, I actually accidentally hit the button, but then I ran with it anyway because I was concerned if this guy was hurt. Now you had to tell me now, Matt Hayes.
All right.
So on the 153, I took the running back out of Clemson, Will Shipley. Was he hurt towards the end of the season?
He's dinged up a little bit. He's a good player. He's a hard runner, man.
Okay, well, did I do the right thing?
You know what I think we've done, though?
But I don't know if you want to. I mean,
yeah, you violated the rule. You cannot draft a running back in this draft.
Oh, you can't do that? Oh, okay. All right. Well, listen, I was looking for some versatility
at
the running back position.
Shipley would be versatile.
He would be, absolutely.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
Little crafty little.
He was
a little shimmy to him.
Yeah. He was a fun cat to watch, too.
Yeah, he was fun. Yeah, he was good. Yeah. Not so much fun for me.
He ain't ETN good, but he definitely was fun to watch.
Oh,
that's for sure. All right,
he might have a fumble problem or two. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, okay. All right.
153.
You know what? I went basically with Abdullah, same player. Mm-hmm. Javon Solomon from the edge from Troy. Very similar. He's 6'1", 240. But just a guy that has shown he can go get the quarterback.
Yeah,
they need guys like that.
Yeah, I watched tape on him, and then I just said, 6'1", I can't do it. Cannot do it.
I don't disagree with you. He's the same as Abdullah, but, I mean, if you're going to just sit there and say, all right, well, that guy didn't work, then try another one.
Yeah, but by the way, you already got one of them, and he's only a second year into this league. Yeah, you're going to cut him? Oh, I love it. You'd be such a successful GM. You are unbelievable. After
Why?
1 year, you've cut guys. After you made a 200-day investment.
I mean, He was a six-round pick.
I know that. I'm just saying, you can't just keep going back to the
well. You get a pretty good idea of what a guy is, a six-round pick is. If he played, I mean, how many snaps did he get last year?
Well, all right, let me just give you an example of guys that didn't play early and ended up playing and starting. And you can like or dislike Trey Herndon. But Trey Herndon was an undrafted free agent that stood in and played meaningful plays for this football team. Tyler Shatley, an undrafted free agent that stood in and made plays, meaningful plays for this football team because others couldn't get the job done. There are plenty of other ones that have been able to do that from that undrafted spot.
Right, but those are guys that fit the mold physically.
Maybe. Like I said, if you are...
That's the only reason I'm talking about Abdullah. Yeah. You're just another 6 foot 240 guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't go back and get the same size guy, is my point.
All right.
You know what I mean? Nehemiah Pritchett. It's another guy, and I think we've talked about him. Matt may have had him on one of his mocks. Leon, you might have had him on one of the mocks. But you're talking about guys that will be special teamers. If you're going to kiss goodbye one or two of those guys, then you need to renew them with quick guys. So I went Nehemiah Pritchett, another cornerback, 153rd overall. Mm-hmm. Now let's get into the 200s.
All right. At 212, I took 6'6", 291. Defensive lineman out of Baylor, Gabe Hall.
Okay. My man.
Here's the difference right here.
Yeah.
Same thing. I did the same thing.
Okay, but you went with a six-footer, and then he went with a six-sixer.
I took Gabe Hall. That's what I'm saying. My next pick was Gabe Hall.
Why are you guys taking him after the guy from Troy?
Because the guy from Troy is productive. He had a productive college career. It's good tape.
Troy.
We were just talking about Quinyon Mitchell, and I said, I don't know, man. Toledo scares me a little bit. And you go, oh, no, I can see it.
Yeah, I
see how he breaks the ball.
Yeah, but you know what?
So I can see with Javon Solomon, but you can't see it. You can't see it.
But what's so funny is that Quinyon's taller than your defensive end.
He probably is, actually. He probably is.
Wow. That's what I'm thinking. He's taller because.
Or they're the same size, height.
And honestly, Mac versus, what is that, Sunbelt? And that's where Billy made his reputation.
Sunbelt's probably better. It's way better than Mac. Not even probably. Way better than Mac. Sunbelt's way better than Mac. Yes, the Mac is terrible.
Now
Toledo's the best team in the MAC.
I know, but I never would have expected anyone to say Sunbelt's better than the MAC. You kidding?
Sunbelt's pretty good now.
Do you understand that Sharknado is coaching up there in the MAC right now?
Well, that in and of itself should make the MAC better, right?
All right, let's keep going.
I got Gabe Hall 212.
All right, 212. I've got Cedric Johnson. Now I fought back and forth in my mind. Between the kid out of Mississippi, and there was another kid out in the Pac-12 that I drafted out of Oregon State, that longer defensive end. Anyway, I went ahead and chose Cedric Johnson this go-around. Find out whether he's a good player or not at the end of the draft. So you got 212 off the board, now 236.
All right, 236, I'm going with offensive lineman, offensive tackle, Penn State, Caden Wallace.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's all a practice squad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State produces those types of players, that's for sure. Who you got?
I've picked this cat in the last two drafts. I really like him. He got hurt in October last year. Kamal Haddon, the corner from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. He's a good player, man.
Yeah.
He got hurt in October, missed the remainder of the season. Wasn't really a guy that started for Tennessee until late in his career. But he's a good player. I think that's a guy you stick on a practice squad, he develops 100%.
Okay, and that's what you're looking for right now, developable players. My last guy, 236 overall. I went with a kid out of Illinois, the Fighting Illini's Keith Randolph Jr., a defensive lineman. And again, you're trying to get bodies up front. And he ran a 5.15 40-yard dash, Leon. He's a big man.
Yeah.
And
What is his measurements again?
All right, I'll give them to you here. 5.15. He is 6'3.5", 296 pounds.
Oh, that's moving.
Yeah. So I went ahead and reached for that guy because I still think that interior, they need to add some bodies to him. They brought Jeremiah Ledbetter back. They're taking a look at some of the other guys. But you know it's going to be Eric Armstead and Devon Hamilton as your two starters, but they're going to need some interior muscle. Mm-hmm. All right, so there you go. All of our mocks are done for today. RJ, you'll post them on X. And so you guys, you heard what we had. You can give us what you got. You can hit the text line 641-1010 and give us an idea of where you think this team's going to go. Because on the X poll, if you can pay this off, RJ, the idea coming out of the media luncheon today was that Trent Baalke said, you got to basically take a look at need as much as you take a look at best player available. And need, in his mind, if it comes down to it, would win. And so he mentioned need multiple times in this presser. And you'll hear Hayes and Rick and many others that were there. I think Hack was there as well. Anyway, many, many 1010 XLers that will keep this theme going throughout the day and afternoon about need.
Yeah, well, we talked about it off the air. We were saying that this team maybe last year, after coming off a playoff run and going toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, you know, maybe they got a little full of themselves because if you look at the picks, okay, the first round pick was a need. You know, the issue with Cam Robinson or right. Anton Harrison. But, you know, instead of getting comfortable with what you are, you build your arsenal. Mm-hmm, you keep stacking your chips. And I think this team last year, because quite frankly, you know, the second round pick and the third round pick, they aren't busts, but you didn't utilize them. They weren't effective. I mean, these guys were healthy scratches. You can't have that on your team. It destroys your roster. So I think this year, you know, they got a little bit of a reality slapped in the face, so to say, not making the playoffs. And now they understand that they've got to address those issues that maybe they didn't do last year.
So it's line season, no doubt about it, okay? But he basically telegraphed what they're doing. They are need right now. They know they need specific positions, and unless there's a crazy difference, they're going need.
Yeah, I got a news flash for people. Most of the time, that is what you do.
Yeah.
If you're smart, that is what you do. And this team can't ignore it. You can't step up to the podium and say, we weren't physical enough. We need to be bigger and stronger. Mm-hmm. You can't say that and then ignore that.
Right.
That's why I believe as soon as they said, hey, we like the guys, our starting five, at the end of last year, that was the first time they had been together, yada, 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 and then they went and signed Mitch Morse.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Well, here's the thing. over there, where the hierarchy of need, I mean, what do they feel like they need the most right now? I know we all have a conversation on what we feel like they need. I think interiorly, got to get bigger, stronger, nasty on the offensive line.
Yeah, because when you can't get fourth in a yard, that's your biggest need.
Yeah.
It feels like it is.
Well, not only is your biggest need, it's just embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Third and half.
Ten personnel,
third and half a yard, you got a problem.
Five of your last six games, you got beaten up.
You did.
That's what happened. Physically
beat up.
You ran into somebody and you got beat up. Mm-hmm. And so that's where they are. So you guys can hit us on YouTube, search 1010XL, throw a comment there, or on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Biggest need, and we'll pay off the X poll coming up.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. Who lit it up last night? Brought to you by American-Electrical.com.
White. Zigs, zags, and cups it home. Here's White. Standing between two. What a finish. Wide in the open floor. White to the rim.
You think Billy D is happy with Colby White? 42 points. When you take a look, it was 15 of 21. In terms of his shooting, that's pretty high conversion rate. 9 boards, 6 assists, a couple of steals. And when you look at Bulls' history with 40-plus, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and no turnovers, the cat named Michael Jordan, have you ever heard of him? And Colby White. That's That is some rare air right there. Good stuff. That was American Electrical with Who Lit It Up last night. Don't forget, they can help you light up anything you want, powered by professionalism, American-Electrical.com.
I was lost in the Sweet Melissa moment there.
You're lost in what now?
I was lost in the Sweet Melissa moment there.
Oh, yeah. Listen, that's one of the best.
I can tell you what you're going to do now. Now that you heard this music, you're going to pour you some brown water somewhere.
As soon as I get my car, I'm putting it on, I'll tell you that.
You're going to pour you some brown water.
No,
somewhere.
No, no. I'm going to put it on. Get but home. Then tonight, oh, when I get tonight. Home, yeah. I might pour a little brown water.
Oh, that's what
water.
I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah, tonight. Yeah, that'd be perfect.
But
one of those Searcy cigars, too.
There you go.
There aren't too many songs that you don't sit back and enjoy with the Allman Brothers if you love Southern rock. And I remember going when the news of Greg Allman passed, and I can't remember how far back we're going. But I went out and saw my man Dewey Villa down there on St. George Street in the back of one of those little walk-in areas where you just hang out and listen to music.
Yep.
And I'm like, could you play? And I'm trying to remember. Soul Shine is what I wanted to hear.
Right.
And he's like, I don't know that one. He said, but I'll come up with something. And he just says, I'm going to play whatever Allman Brothers pops in my head. And he had it. And I'm like, okay, that works. Now, Dewey, one of the great artists down in the AUG, that's for sure. And as we said, news of Dickie Betts passing at 80 years of age. Guitarist, lead, that guy, definitely integral. With the Allman Brothers. And Allman Brothers, would you say synonymous with Duvall? They're right there, man.
Yeah.
They're right there. Don't forget that is Duvall through and through. That's for sure. All right, off the comment section from YouTube, Big Sirs. Safety in round three, crazy talk. Crazy talk. And that's when you admitted you might have reached a
level. Well, I would tell the people that, you know, stay out of my yard.
You also had to wash the funk off you, too.
Yeah, I had to wash the Florida funk. You know, I had to wash the funk off me. So I was a little delusional when I made that pick. I probably should have went Edge.
It's funny
but when
because
that you popped up, I just had to go get it.
If you take a look at some of our, if you take a look at our mocks and you find out the ones that, like, you will look and you'll see when it's all said and done, wait a minute. There was a position I completely ignored, and it might be Edge, might be interior. Mm-hmm. I had to go interior defensive lineman. Just to know that I had a shot at getting a guy that might be able to add a little depth, a little help to that area. There aren't too many defensive linemen in this draft for whatever reason that are talented.
So I think we need to circle back to the need thing because what's the need? Mm-hmm. At 17, I mean, we all know what their needs are.
Right.
What's the need at 17? What is their most pressing need? I think to me, it's offensive line, but I don't think they think that. My guess is they probably think it's cornerback.
Well, we need a corner off of the text line. Darby is a small corner and a guy that has battled some injuries, so there's no getting away from that part of it. And so you could easily put that up there because you dispatched Darius Williams. You brought in a guy who is experienced and will play the type of coverage that Ryan Nielsen's asking for, but you need Darby to be healthy, and you need Darnell Savage to come up and play nickel. And so those are two kind of quasi-unknowns. Darby's been good in this league. He really has. But it's just a matter of, is he going to be able to do for Duvall what he's been doing throughout his career? He was – I'd have to go back and look at his stats, but he wasn't an every-down, every-game player for Baltimore last year because of the injuries. And it's pointed out he's a smaller corner, and I do get that. But he's still – you like Aaron Beast explaining yesterday, you look at a guy, you figure out where to – take him. If you can control the environment, then you can play a lot bigger than maybe you are size wise
and reputation wise too. I mean, he's coming from a defense that was suffocating.
Yeah,
I mean, I mean he had no. Don't get me wrong. Their pass rush and their ability to cover. I mean, they watch each other's hands. Mm-hmm. But if he had just stayed healthy, that's the concern. If those type of guys that you bring in, especially during free agency, you're hoping you can get the most out of them and stay healthy. Armstead as well.
Yeah.
12 games, 2 years.
Yes, exactly. You know, here's another one. As far as needs go, need a corner. After that, need a legitimate nose tackle that can eat up space so Armstead, Allen, and Walker can go hunt. Beyond that, I think Searcy can agree. We need to get some depth on both lines. And by depth, I mean nasty dudes that are hungry to take someone's job that isn't performing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the way you should look at it, right? I'm coming in to compete for that job.
Well, I mean, even Doug said it in his press. He was talking about, you know, when they was talking, asking him questions about, you know, who to draft or whatever. He said, yeah, you know, we want to bring some competition here. You know, whoever you draft at 17, I mean, you want to plug and play. But if he can go take a position, mm-hmm. then that's why you draft him. This ain't no country club. This ain't no resort. Nobody gets. I want when you whoever they draft, whoever they bring in, I want the offensive line or the defensive line or whoever second. I want them to be uncomfortable. Whoever's at that position right now, and then ultimately take their position. That's why you draft.
Yeah, because you come in and you know that you're going to come in every day prepared to try and play for the most playing time you can get your hands on. Mm-hmm. That's how well, good teams are built.
So let's just look at it this way. We think their needs are offensive line, defensive interior, right?
Mm-hmm. That's where corner, I would go.
And then you can even say wide receiver, sure. Okay?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whoever you pick in any of those four positions, they're going to have to compete for a starting job. There's not going to be anything given to them.
Right. Mm-hmm. They may not win the starting job.
Right. Well, I mean, unless it's the offensive line.
they might.
They can compete, but if you're not starting him, you
yeah.
You
like
know,
again,
you're doing
I'm
a
not
huge disservice to your.
I'm
team
not dispatching
and your quarterback more than anything.
Yeah, I'm not dispatching Ezra Cleveland for the short amount of time that he was here. I want to see how he can play. I do think he's a capable lineman. He played well up in Minnesota, and so I just want to see what he can do.
I don't need capable.
Yeah. I don't think he's capable.
I said I don't need capable. I need something that's going to rip someone's head off. That's what I need.
Well, yeah. Look, I get it.
Am I not right, sir?
I'm not going to say. Of course you're right.
You know what I need? I need Brandon Sheriff when he was young. That's what I need.
Like in other words,
you want someone to bludgeon.
That's what he was when he was younger. He was a dude that would rip your head off.
Yeah. Look, we don't. All right. I won't argue with that at all. I need dudes, savages, 100%. But at the same time, we just can't wash them all to the side and go get five more. You've got to figure out the best way to put guys in place. Ezra Cleveland has the least amount of experience as a Jacksonville Jaguar along that offensive line. Even the rookie has more experience a Jaguar.
Right, I'm not saying you wash them to the side. All I'm saying is you get guys that will compete and win the jobs.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. I'm all for that. If you come
in – if Cooper Hodges, all of a sudden, it clicks and he wins a job, he's – play him.
Yeah, come in.
I don't
and
care
do
what
it.
You're paying somebody.
Yeah,
play him.
I have no problem with that because nothing worse than 4th-and-1 and can't get it done. That is unacceptable. And so that I'm 100% on. It just
4th-and-1 and can't get it done.
Can't get it done. That is unacceptable. And so let's get to a point. Like one
Joe
of the
loves that alliteration, man.
Notre Dame fan here. Joe Alt will be tackle. What Zach Martin was as far as an interior lineman. If he is that, that'd be great. And if he were to fall, and who knows, the beauty of what's happening is all this chatter about the quarterback might induce a GM to make a bad decision. And if you have the potential, and Trent Baalke said it, that we may see 4 or 5 quarterbacks go off the board before we get to choose. That's just the first half of the first round.
Well, Alt's not going to get there, but you may if the quarterback
somebody
if you get 5
like
quarterbacks early, you're going to get somebody really tempting at 17.
Yeah, and if you look and by the way, this is with a light number of rush-ins, just Dallas Turner. If I'm going back and looking again, these mocks you can make whatever you want of them. But Dallas Turner was a top 10. Latu was a top 10. They did not have Jared Verse. I can't imagine that happening, but that is at least the way
I could see Jared Verse falling to 17 easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. Mm. And would you take him?
No, I'd take offensive line still.
Well, if let's just say those top offensive linemen are all gone and you really don't have any depth at that defensive end, one of the most important positions on a football team, now that you're 4 down – you do not have quality backup.
So, would I take that instead of a corner? So, you tell me all the corners are gone too?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of them that'll be a run. What run will be on them? That's for sure. So, would you take. Listen, I would think long and hard about rush in over cornerback. I wouldn't have a problem at least considering that. I still think the corner.
You're going to get Fatanu or one of those guys is going to be surprised. He's going to be sitting there at 17.
Yeah,
I'm telling you that.
Yeah, 17 is a great little spot for this team to be in with as many choices as they need. All right, we are out. We had a great time. Thanks for hanging out with us. We got the Franchise Show coming up next. You guys can keep it rolling all afternoon with everything that came out of the draft luncheon. We are done back at 2 tomorrow. Joe C., Matt Hayes, Big Leon Searcy, and RJ Saunders.
Riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL.